like this, he doesn't realize that by placing one foot on top of the other foot, lying back, the private areas are exposed. So here there is permissibility to sleep like this, so long as one doesn't fear that the private areas will get exposed. وَجَوَازِ الْقُعُودِ مُتَرَبِّعًا, and the permissibility of sitting cross-legged, or مُحْتَبِيًا. Yesterday we explained that sitting muhtabiyan actually means where a person sits on his buttocks and he's got his hands around his shins. So this sitting like this in Arabic is called ihtiba. So the permissibility of sitting like this. So the muhaddisin, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them, everything from the hadith they showed us, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how he sat. If he sat cross-legged, automatically we know this permissibility for sitting like that. If he sat in ihtiba position, muhtabiyan, also known as, we'll do it in the hadith also, that this sitting of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would sit often like this. It was a sitting that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam demonstrated his humility, and he demonstrated the tawazu that he had, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him, by even sitting in this type of postures. So the first hadith we did yesterday, Abdullah ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, أَنَّهُ رَأَى رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مُسْتَلْقِيًا فِي الْمَسْجِدِ وَاضِيًا إِحْدَ رِجِلَيْهِ عَلَى الْأُخْرَى. Abdullah ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, he said, he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lying on his back in the masjid, placing one foot on top of the other foot. So from here we learn that it is permissible to a person to lie like this. The other hadith we did, and Jabir ibn Samura radiallahu anhu, قال, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صلى الفجر تربع في مجلسي حتى تطلع الشمس حسناء. As Jabir radiallahu anhu said, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he would perform Fajr Salah, he would day after sit cross-legged, right up till the time of Ishraq, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would sit there until the sun had become bright. While Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would sit and he would make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then when the sun would shine brightly, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would read the salat, we know, Salatul Ishraq. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu qala, ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi fina'il ka'abati muhtabiyan bi yadayhi hakadha. Hadith Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the precincts of the Kaaba Sharif, and he was sitting like this. The sitting I mentioned to you, person sits on his buttocks and he's got his hands around his shins. And then he says, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting like that, and he also demonstrated, as Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu demonstrated to his people, wahul qurfusa. The sitting is also called qurfusa. So one is ihtiba, and the other name of the sitting is qurfusa. And Qila bint Makhrama qalat ra'aytu an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wasallam wa huwa qa'idun qurfusa. Hazrat Makhrama radiallahu anha, she says that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sitting in this position, this qurfusa position. فلما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المتخشيع في الجلسة ورعدت من الفرق. She says, when I saw Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم sitting in this position, that such a humble position he's sitting in, that I began to tremble. I began to tremble out of fear that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم has got so much of tawazu, so much of humility, yet he is the bacha ke bacha. He is the king of the king, and he is the person that deserves to be sitting on a throne. Deserves to be sitting on a lazy boy, deserves to be sitting on a very luxurious chair, but he's sitting like this, he's sitting in that position, such a simple position, I began to tremble. So this was the humility of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we did one more hadith, one is Thurayd ibn Suwayd radiallahu anhu, qala marra bi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Thurayd ibn Suwayd radiallahu anhu, he says, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked past me, wa ana jalisun hakaza, and I was sitting like this, waqad wada'tu يَدَيِ الْيُسْرَ خَلْفَ ظَهْرِ. I had my left hand behind me like this, and I was resting upon the flesh of my palms. So my left hand was like this behind me, and I was resting on this. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاتَّكَأْتُ عَلَىٰ إِلْيَةِ يَدَيْ, I was resting upon the flesh of my palm. فَقَالَ أَتَقْعُدُ قِعَدَةَ الْمَخْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chided me, he reprimanded me, that are you sitting the sitting of those people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger is upon? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so careful and teaching us also that don't imitate the kuffar. Even in your sitting postures, if they had that habit of sitting like this, we also shouldn't sit like that, resting on the left hand. Person, if he needs to rest, then ideally maybe he should rest on his right hand. He should try and change his position, but avoid this position by sitting on his left hand. So this teaches us that etiquettes and the adab of sitting. Now Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi, to finish off, he brought another chapter now, Babu fi adabil Majlisi wal Jalisi, the chapter of sitting in a gathering. How should one sit in a gathering? As Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu qala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yuqeemanna ahadukum rajulan min majlisihi thumma yajlisu fihi And then Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that none of you should make somebody wake up from a gathering. It's a big gathering. None of you should make somebody wake up from the spot and you sit there. Perhaps maybe because you're a more senior person in terms of age, or more senior in terms of ilm, or because you're a local person, or you're a trustee, or something. You should never make anybody wake up from his spot and you sit in his place. In other words, that man was sitting there before you. He deserves that spot. That spot belongs, that actually doesn't belong to him, but he's more deserving of that spot at that moment. So let him sit there. Walakin tawassahu wa tafassahu. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching such a beautiful thing. He says, but make space and allow people to sit. Tawassahu, make space and allow people to sit. So when somebody comes in, then make space for him. Don't make him feel uncomfortable now where there's no space for him to sit. But nobody, that person shouldn't make anybody wake up. And the people that are sitting, they should try and accommodate him. What a beautiful way of showing two ways of akhlaq. One is the people that are sitting, how they should show akhlaq to the man that is coming. They should try and make space for him. And the man that is coming also, he shouldn't make anybody wake up. وَكَانَ إِبْنُ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِذَا قَامَ لَهُ رَجُلٌ مِنْ مَجْلِسِهِ لَمْ يَجْلِسْ فِيهِ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was what a great Sahabi, very great Sahabi, the son of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. If anybody had to stand up for him to make space for him to come and sit in his place, he wouldn't sit. Despite his greatness, somebody stood up to say, come sit in my place, he wouldn't sit. Why? Out of fear that I'll be going against this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that don't make anybody stand up and you take his place. So despite his ilm, despite his maqam, despite the position Allah Pak had given him, he still, if anybody had to stand up, he refused taking that person's place. He would sit wherever he found a place. But it shouldn't be because of me, somebody else had to lose their place. These are all refined etiquettes that we learn in the hadith, we learn from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we should try and bring in our lives. These are things that seem simple, but they take a person a very, very long way. It go very far, especially the adab and the etiquettes of sitting. As we're going, we'll see that when a person leaves his place also, the hadith teaches us that respect. The man has just gone out for a short while to make wuzu or something. When he comes back, فَهُوَ حَقُّ بِهِ, he's more deserving of that spot that he left than anybody else, because he just left for a short while. Therefore, ulama say, sometimes it is nice for a person to leave a handkerchief, leave one topi, leave something there where you woke up and you're just going out, so somebody else knows that you're coming back just now. When a person goes for a long period of time, then it's understood that that person, that place doesn't remain his forever. But when he's going out for a very short period, the hadith is saying, فَهُوَ حَقُّ بِهِ, this person comes back now, he's more worthy of that space, because he went from there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Just a quick incident, I was reading one story last night about the history of this place. So there was a person. This shows us that sometimes things happen to us in life, we think that they are bad things. But in the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's some great hikmat and great benefit in it. So there was a person that was known as Mufti Ibrahim Salehi Sahib's Nana, this was. He was known as Ismail Mota. He was also the founder of I.G. Hussain. His name was Ismail, that first person. So he was staying in the farm in Ganaskoti. He moved to town in the 1940s. When he went there, then Grey Street, one part of Grey Street closer toward the harbour, that now became a white area, and the part that is more closer towards the masjid and the inside of town, that part was the Indian area. So because he was staying now in the white area, he had to move out. So at that time, he purchased a plot of land here where this masjid is. So when he purchased it, at that time, there was a lot of bush around here. It wasn't a developed area in the 1940s. So people told him that you came from the farm and now you're going back to the farm. You came from one farm, now you're going to another farm. So anyway, he came here, and in the 1960s, now this area became zoned as a colored area. So now here in the 1960s, they had to sell up from here. So they put it up for sale, 19,500. There was a person, a lady that was interested. The deal was signed, everything was signed, that she's purchasing this house. After the deal was signed, for some odd reason, the deal didn't go through. So because the deal didn't go through, so they let out the place, they rented out the place. This place was let out and rented out. And then after the apartheid era, 1998, the family decided that let's make this thing a Jamaat Khana. So outwardly it looked like what a problem now. We moved from one place, we went to town, then we had to come back here. And from here again we had to move. And that also seemed like a problem. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used that place. There were six families staying here at that time. One toilet, one bathroom. Sometimes these incidents are nice for the youngsters to hear. When they complain that we don't like this hotel room, we don't like that hotel room, or our house, we need more en suites. Six families were staying in one house, one toilet, one bathroom. Allah Pak had placed so much of barakat in it that there was never a queue for the toilets or the bathroom. Somehow they would manage with it. And the ladies would stay with the parents in the room, and all the boys used to stay in the outhouse. So Six families like that stayed here. And person mentions in his writing of the history that he was here, he said that once a week they would go to the market and would two rand, they would fill up the boat full of vegetables and come back with some change also. Two rand, full up. There was a bus stop outside. 5 cents would take a person to town. So like that they lived. And the whole family would be up at the Hajjud time. Whole family would be up at the Hajjud time, leading the Hajjud year. And after Asr Salah, that same Baji, Ismail, Haji Ismail Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that he would sit in the veranda that was there, and he would make zikr, and he'll tell all his family members also, now is the time after Asr, this is the time to make zikr, and he'll encourage the whole family to make zikr. So this was the qualities that these people had. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used that home after that to become a masjid. But this was something that they had. On one occasion it's mentioned that he went for Hajj. This Baji went for Hajj. And when he went for Hajj, then it so happened that the ladies came outside now to sit in the veranda to get some air, some fresh air, etc. But it wasn't a common thing for the ladies to sit in the veranda. When he was around, he was very careful of parda, etc. So one family person went past and he just saw that there's the ladies that are sitting in the veranda. Immediately he went to the shop and he said that it seems like Baji has gone for Hajj and now the ladies are taking advantage and they have come to the veranda, because this was something unknown. And now today you'll find that the ladies have to go out and they have to go to the bazaars, the malls, the marketplaces. They have to go to the souks and the fairs. And nothing is even thought about it. But in those times, the lady had to even come in the veranda and sit there unnecessarily. It was seen as a problem. So these were the sifat and the qualities that these people had. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also give us. As times go, sometimes as we move away further and further away from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these things seem as more and more foreign. But actually these are the things that we should be bringing in our lives. And how in our houses tahajjud can come in our life, tahajjud can come alive, zikr can come alive, that muhabbat can come alive. And one other thing that was there, on a Saturday it was like Eid in this house. All the family members used to come to visit, because the old people were all staying here, everyone would come and visit. It used to be like Eid, so there was such muhabbat in the families. So this is something also we have to try and revive back in our families, to bring that muhabbat, to bring that love. It doesn't have to be extravagant. It was simple that time. One toilet, one bathroom, so many people staying. But yet it was like muhabbat. So much of muhabbat there was there because of the love and simplicity that the people had. Allah Pak give us all tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdika, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.